is Phil Henry Show of the El Pacifico in Southern California.
And we are back from our Christmas vacation.
Mr. Henry will be along in a moment. This is General Galen Shaw.
And Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Leonard.
And I'm Margaret Gray. And on the program today, by the way, I'm going to be explaining, if you want to turn the garbage down.
Now, Mr. Henry City.
Mr. Henry City.
Keep the music underneath you, Margaret. It's not that bad.
It's the garbage, you see, that I don't like. It's the garbage that is filling my head. Oh, that's great music.
You know, that whole thing with you.
That's very, very disingenuous.
What are you doing, Margaret?
What am I doing? What?
Every time you hear music that you say is garbage, don't only turn it down and say you like it.
What?
You do that all the time. You say, turn the garbage down, turn the garbage down. We turn it down and go, oh, I really like that song.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You do it all the time, and you do it all the time.
Are you done?
You just do it all the time.
Are you done?
Yes.
Here.
Hey.
Now, as I was saying, I forget what I'm saying.
Anyway, you were going to talk about the garbage.
No, I was going to say on the program today, I'm talking about broadcast news, right?
Yeah, I want to know about this, because you were tweeting about this over the weekend.
Yes. I watched Frank and I turned on broadcast news. I don't know why. I guess it was on one of the cable channels. By the way, did you hear that NBC has been dropped by Cox Media? Don't laugh, bud.
Well, don't expect me to laugh when you say Cox.
You know, I don't know whether to kill you or to put you in a museum. I don't know what...
Take it easy. What's the problem?
Said Cox Media.
So what if she said Cox Media? Look, don't get me in a bet. First of all, welcome to the show, folks. Second of all...
Sorry, you went book me up.
You did a little bit of a glottal hitch there, Phil. I know you don't want us to keep reminding you of these things, but that sounded pretty bad.
What did he do?
He went... you did?
No, I did not. Here's what I want to tell people, okay?
Yeah, go ahead. You want to sound like you want to sound like you ought to be wearing a ski cap and selling flowers, riding your little bicycle, taking the prescriptions to some old lady because you're 40 and you're...
Because I'm 40...
Oh, look, now he's laughing.
Now you're laughing at the disadvantage.
No, I'm not. I'm waiting for the general. All right.
That was true. That was a guy. You knew, isn't it, Mr. Henry?
What did you say?
Oh, but you know what, bud? You really belong in a place where they can care for people like you.
That's it. Didn't you know a guy like that?
No, you did say that, Mr. Henry. A guy like what?
A guy that wore a ski cap and delivered stuff on a bicycle.
What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, no, I told these guys. Yeah, when I was growing up in Arcadia, we had a man, a very unfortunate man. Don't start talking about that like it's some kind of a comedy bit.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
We had a very unfortunate man.
Hold on for a minute.
Every town, wherever you are from, has a variety of different people that you see. And there was one guy that we came to know, and yeah, he was. He was in his 30s, and he was very clearly disabled. You know, he was educationally disabled. I think he had some sort of actual brain damage. But his job was to, you know, take prescriptions that people ordered.
Yes, he'd deliver them on his bicycle.
Yeah, well, what about the ski cap?
What about the ski cap?
It's California.
I don't know, man. He wore the ski cap. Maybe he wore the ski cap, bud, to, you know, cover up a scar he might have had.
Yeah, man. Think about that. What an asshole, man.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know what, bud? Think before you, you know, they say look before you leap. You should think before you speak.
Huh?
How about that?
That's pretty good.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, big deal.
All right. So, yes, we did, Robert, and, yeah, so I guess he works his way into the material of the show.
Yeah, that's one thing you got to remember, folks. If you hear any of us say anything offensive, it's because Phil's thinking it, but he doesn't want you to think he's an asshole, so he puts it on us.
All right, thanks a lot for that.
Well, it is true, Phil.
On the show today, folks, we're going to have a very interesting show.
But it is true.
All right, thank you. It is true. On the show today, folks, we're going to have an interesting time. We have Vernon Doge is going to join us to talk. He's going to reminisce a little bit about the Hail Mary pass in 1975, the Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys. We were watching it, actually, during the pre-show. I had that game on, the actual 75 game.
Now, that was they call it the Hail Mary.
Yes, that was the pass. I saw that, Phil, when I walked in, and you said, there's the Hail Mary, right?
Yeah, that was the pass.
Yes, I saw it. It was the Hail Mary.
All right, you saw the Hail Mary. What about it?
Okay, let me explain. So Vernon Doge is going to talk about the time when he was playing pro ball in Canada. A similar thing happened to him. He was covering a wide receiver by the name of Clyde Walward. And Walward, I guess...
Well, I heard a little bit about you. I talked to Vernon about this last night. I said to him, are you sure you want to go through with this? He said, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Let me sure you want to go through with it.
I said, are you sure you want to go to the Henry Show and lay this very sensitive story, a story about yourself, some professional failure? You want to go on the Phil Henry Show and have everybody, just pulled her what? You know what? I just tinkle all over it.
What?
We're not going to do that.
Well, I said, are you sure you want to do that? He said, yes.
All right, well, so the story is...
The story is he was covering some wide receiver when he played for the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
What is that?
That's a Canadian Football League team.
All right. And this guy, Clyde Woolward, hauled one in on him, and to this day, he can't explain how it was done. Because the ball was a good 10 yards behind them, and Vernon was falling forward, Woolward was falling on top of Vernon, and yet when Woolward got up and ran into the end zone, he had the ball by his right hand, and the ball had fallen on his left side.
What?
Look, fella, I'm not going to explain that again.
Well, it sounds incredible.
Yeah, it does sound incredible. But Mr. Dozer, I mean, Coach Dozer.
Yeah, he swears up and down. Swears to God that it's true.
All right, anyway, that's a long way to run for that story.
Well, you were talking about it.
Yeah, well, all right, so Vernon's going to be on. We also have, more to the point, we've got Don Berman. Margaret, you want to talk about broadcast news? Don Berman's going to come on and talk about a book that he's just finished in conjunction with Kay Whitmey, who is one of the female reporters, obviously, at Channel 19, called The Ball Breaking Must Stop, Female Reporters and Where to Draw the Line.
Oh, that ought to be... Are you kidding me or something?
No, I'm not. That's, you know...
The what is it?
The Ball Breaking Must Stop, Female Reporters and Where to Draw the Line. You're kind of taking that side.
Margaret, what is your whole point about broadcast news?
My point about broadcast news, if I may.
Well, let me just say, so Doug Dangle will be on to talk about...
Doug Dangle.
Doug Danger.
No, you said Dangle.
All right, Doug Dangle. How? Is that fine?
How?
Hey.
Doug Danger is his name, Phil, unless, of course, you want to just heap more criticism on him because he is gay, so go ahead and call him Doug Dangle. Jesus.
I'm sorry.
Kind of bad.
I didn't call him Dangle. So Doug Danger will be on.
You are kind of in a bad mood. It's a new year. If I were you, I'd take a step back from all this, Phil. Take a deep breath and remind yourself of what you're grateful for.
Uh-huh.
Not much, huh?
No. So Doug Danger is going to talk about Mariah Carey and what happened last night. It didn't look that bad to me.
Well, what if she was on stage and she was supposed to sing some song? I don't know what it was. The real, I think, disgrace of the night, and apparently the lip-syncing or the music did not sync up.
You belch?
No.
Come on. Unhand him.
Don't ever point out that I belch.
Sorry, but I can very clearly you go burp. Everyone could hear it.
No, not everyone could hear it.
There, right. Phil, what Phil said. Doug Danger, I don't give a shit.
Margaret, God almighty.
Margaret, don't get so upset about it.
Well, I don't know what she the lip syncing did. The thing that what threw me about Mariah Carey's performance, and I think it threw everyone, and I don't think I'm talking out of school when I say I was stunned. I was really stunned that, A, she had the courage to wear what she was wearing, but more to the point, B, the size of it.
Yeah.
The size of what?
Well, get three guesses.
If you're wearing something that looks like your underwear, and I'm talking about the size of it, not them, it, what is it?
I guess it's her butt.
Thank you. Although a butt is something that's small and compact and cute. This was more...
It was more like something you'd deliver.
What a dick.
Well, I'm agreeing with you, aren't I?
Yes, but she's a female, so I want to show solidarity.
Isn't that nice? All right, Margaret, thank you very much for that, and we will get into all of that as we progress here. Let's go to the traffic right now. Bob Bacon, Bob?
Phil, I'm out on freeway right now. We got travel, man. The travel man does devil I can. I've done all the time for them. And up in the morning, down to the wind, and she's downwind for me. So you want to make sure you got down? You got travel, and you're outbound. Make sure you're downwind, and you're outbound. Phil, I'm out, Skyboy.
I'm going down downwind of time because that smell coming off of that thing, that boy had got a buzzard right off the gag big one, that's fine. And not that gag, that buzzard off a meat wagon. Well, the 14 freeway. And that's nothing. I got to take a big, long, deep breath of that and just go, wow, that's hoo-hoo. Looking over the sky, baby. I'm going to go down.
There it is. There's the traffic. Thanks a lot, Sky Baby. Thanks a lot, Sky Boy. This is Bob Bacon. 9 pounds of swinging meat.
How to get your dishes clean. Boy, these holidays are a mess. And when you put that caked on grime, when you've got that big, thick grease stain there on the plate, you need something tough. You need something better than anything you've had before. We recommend Joey's Explosives, small miniature packets of dynamite that will blast those plates clean. That's right. It blows all that hardened grease off of the plate.
It blows the hardened grease, huh?
Off of the plate. Joey's Explosives, little tiny miniature packets of explosives that you put on the grease, put on the dirt, put on the grime, and it blasts its way to freedom right off of those plates, off of those coffee cups, maybe even off of your teeth.
That's right. Joey's Explosives are now made for dental wear.
Joey's Explosives could actually blast the tartar off my blackened teeth?
Yep. Joey's Explosives. Get it now at Kierkegaard's drugstores
and the famous Bardley's.
Hi, buddy. This is Bob Bacon. I'll tell you what. You can fly a helicopter. You want to fly a helicopter? Learn how to land a helicopter. Learn how to fly a helicopter. Bob Bacon's Helicopter School today, and today only there at Lake Elsinore. Come on, Bob Bacon. And at the Turlock Fairfam, I will baptize you in. You can have that. Are you going to skip on it? Did you skip it? Well, did you?
Bob Bacon's Helicopter School. Learn how to fly one, as Bob likes to say it.
Learn how to fly it and land it. And I'm not necessarily talking about the helicopter. Blah!
Bob Bacon's Helicopter Schools, Lake Elsinore and Turlock. Take the 55 turnoff to Girton, then go from Girton to Turlock, turn around and go home. You don't want to stop. You don't want to deal with those people there.
Bob Bacon, Helicopter School.
Work so fucking much, my greatest fear is I'm a dialogue.
Right on.
Every diamond.
Well, that's very lovely, isn't it?
Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show, the first show of 2017 here. It is the second day of January 2017, man. Ain't no slowing down Father Time, is there?
Nope, just keep right on rolling.
Well, you know, you want to get philosophical about it. I'm much older than you, and as far as I'm concerned, I've got all the time in the world. I'm relaxed, I feel good, I'm eating right, and I'm drinking even better. And,
What, maybe you should give us a little idea of what your philosophy of life is.
Well, my philosophy of life is this. Now, I like working for you, Phil, but if once I get out of this show, once I'm off this show, I think I'll live another 10 years.
Well, then why don't you quit?
Because you won't let me quit, because you control my mind. You control my mind, my activities.
Never mind. Thank you, General Shaw. It is 2017. It is, as I said, the first show of the 2017. Here's what I want to mention. We have, of course, our BSP chat coming up on Friday night. Oh, I know. We do not have a BSP chat on Friday night.
No, you do not, because you're going to be at the Hollywood Improv. Phil and friends, Phil Henry and friends, will be at the Hollywood Improv on Friday night right now. Horatio Sands has confirmed. Lana Turner has confirmed, the great comic Lana Turner, not the actress, which I'm sure she's tired of hearing. And Phil, and more to be announced. That is Friday night at the Hollywood Improv in Hollywood, California. And we will have a link posted for tickets on the website by... I imagine sometime today, Phil.
Yeah, we'll have a link for you there. We'll obviously, there'll be one on our Facebook page, and you can go to the Hollywood Improv website as well and order tickets for Phil Henry and Friends Friday night at the Hollywood Improv. We're back, baby, for 2017. We do have Lana Turner and Horatio Sands confirmed, or as we like to call him, Raj, or as probably Horatio would say himself, Horatio Sands, not Sants, Phil. Don't sound like an anus.
Thank you. Very good.
Anyway, that's coming up Friday night here on the world famous, well, Friday night there at the world famous Hollywood Improv. Me, the world famous Phil Henry and friends.
Can I do it like you do it? That's what they be asking us.
All right, coming up on the line right now. I know, I thought we were going to have, was it going to be Vernon? I don't, not really sure. Let me take a look here. We've got, you wanted to mention something about that show. What show?
We're going to say the Friday night. We're going to get Vernon set up. But...
Oh, yeah, not just Vernon, but you.
I'll talk about what I've got to talk about when it gets to me, for God's sake.
All right, Margaret.
Telling me, I know what I'm on, and I'm not on now.
A week ago Friday, we were at the Canyon Club and saw the band Ambrosia. It was fantastic. I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody from the Canyon Club. It was great.
Where was the Canyon Club?
Canyon Club's in Westlake Village, California. It's a great venue. I don't know what it used to be, but I just love that room. It's big, it's roomy, it's lots of places to sit and to eat and to have a cocktail, and also, you know, you can enjoy some dinner and also watch the show. It's like a festival seating slash, you know, there's seats kind of a thing.
What do you mean festival seating? Like everyone's festive and everything?
No, man, it's not a festival. Festival seating is just, you know, find a place to sit.
Oh.
Everyone's festive.
Well, it's what it sounds like.
But anyway, Ambrosia was there, and it was like three of the original four members.
Well, who wasn't there?
The lead singer, David Pack,
Well, now, who's Joe Puerta?
Joe was there, and Burley Drummond and Christopher North. But anyway, it was great. Really had a great time, and recommend that you go out and do that. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, well, we thought it was a much bigger announcement than that.
No, that's all I just want to say. You know, it was a fun time. The rain was coming down like a mad, crazy, insane thing, and that was sort of weird. In fact, it's been raining like nuts, man, here the last week, and it doesn't bother me. I know how to drive in rain. I don't necessarily slow down to 5 miles an hour. I don't necessarily go 800,000 miles an hour, but I maintain the speed limit, and I try not to get in anybody's way. And I'm also mindful of one other thing. I drive kind of a quasi-semi-SUV type of a truck thing. And what that means is when you drive by someone, you spray sometimes a whole lot of rainwater onto their windshield.
You're gonna get blinded and stuff.
I had that happen to me on the Pasadena Freeway, and I wanted to find the creep that did that.
What happened?
I was going down the Pasadena Freeway. I got in between two trucks, and they just let it go right all over the windshield. It was as if I was laying there, and, well...
Yeah?
Never mind.
That's very nice, Margaret.
Did I say it?
You were laying there, and some guy... Hey!
Did you ever say that?
Hey, come on. Bud, what a crude thing to say.
I didn't say it.
Well, you did kind of lead him up to that.
I was trying to give people an idea of what it was like, all right? Just because I'm saying I'm laying on my back and some guy
Holy Christ, Margaret. All right, let me take it from here. From here. I was going to say from there, but I don't know where there... I don't know where there...
You don't know where there error is. See, this is why we point out, Phil, the fact that you've got something wrong. I think it's a tumor or a lesion, where you all of a sudden, in the middle of a very, very coherent sentence, you go... Look at him. Look at him laugh. See? Look at him right there.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, that's him. Hey, right there. There he goes. He's laughing.
Yeah, there he is. Anyway, I forget what I was going to say, but...
It was the rainwater.
All right, the rainwater. And it hit the windshield, and what?
It hit the windshield, and I was blind. All right, are you happy?
Well, Ms. Gray, nobody wants to be blind.
Well, that's what happened. And anyone that is not mindful of what kind of effect their automobile or the truck or whatever it is they're driving is having on other drivers is a brain-dead imbecile and should be taken out and summarily
executed.
Well, I don't want to go there.
Let's just put it this way. Please be mindful of the effect your vehicle has on other vehicles as well as yourself. I mean, we got to all hang together, man. We all got to get along here. All right, so... having said all of that, that was the rain situation on this past week. So we have Vernon?
Yeah, I've got Vernon Dozier coming up on line two.
Okay, Vernon Dozier joining us here from Vernon is actually in Glendale, California. Gets back at it now after the holidays. Vernon, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Phil? I'm doing real good. It's great to be with you. Thank you.
And Vernon, I was watching the Hail Mary game from, 1975 today. I had never watched the game. I had seen obvious film footage of the pass. I'd heard the discussion, but I'd never actually seen the game in real time and the experience. One of the things that I found to be very interesting about that game was after the Hail Mary and the touchdown by Dallas, and there were only a few seconds left, Minnesota really fell apart, didn't they?
That is kind of a, it's nothing that I, the Minnesota Vikings were led by a wonderful professional by the name of Fran Tarkenton, and of course the head coach was Bud Grant. And I don't think there are two more professional and, professional. I was going to say, I thought there was another word that started with PR, like proficient is another one.
But prosperous.
Yeah, but prosperous, that doesn't even.
Well, let's just say professional.
Yeah, they're two very professional men. But after that Hail Mary was caught by Preston Pearson, he went into the end zone. Yeah, they did. Fran, he just basically started losing it with the refs. He started screaming and yelling and jumping up and down. He's not a very big man, so when a guy like Fran Tarkenton, who was actually about 5'10", he wasn't by any means a very small man, but comparatively speaking.
Yeah, compared to the other guys in the field.
Right, compared to the other men in the field. But Fran, when he'd jump up and down and start to get angry, you're looking at a little tiny guy just going, and I would be in the living room watching this, my wife and I'd be going, I'd say, what am I now, honey? She'd go, Fran Tarkenton? I said, yeah. Because he's going, coming out, And I always hated that about ball players. Just suck it up and live with it. Because I had to. And I would not have had that attitude were it not for the fact that I lived through it and no one cared, man. No one cared for me.
Now, what this was the experience we were talking about you had in the Canadian Football League, right?
That is correct.
What year was this?
This was in 1970, and I was playing for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And I've told this story a million times. I told this story on CFL in Review, one of the Canadian shows they have. From time to time, you know, I'm asked to come on one of those programs and say, hey, here is Vernon Dozier, the guy that got burned by Clyde Walward on the famous Deep and Out in Canada. You know, down here we know it as the Hail Mary. Up in Canada, they call it deep, 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 way back, and like permafrost, you know.
What is it called again?
It's just they call the play that Clyde Walward stuck it to me on deep, 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 way back, just deep. And
that's what they call it.
Yeah, that's what they call it. So
deep, 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 way back deep.
No, I didn't say that.
He said deep, 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 way back, just deep.
That's it. Just deep. And so
that's the big play.
I guess I'm talking to myself over here.
Yes, Phil, that's the big play.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
All right, okay.
So it was the end of the game. We were leading by a score of 20 to 11. Now, in Canadian football, as you know, you can get a rouge. That's 1 point. And you can also do 2-point conversion, which we have in American football. But anyway, we were leading by 9. Here comes a big long bomb. The ball, I look around and I can see it's landing. It's going to land 10 yards behind us. As sure as God made green apples, it's way short. I turn and stop. Clyde turns and stops. And then he turns again, and so I turn again to follow his lead in whatever it is that he sees. Now, I understand I'm supposed to keep my eye on the ball, but at this point, I think the ball is so far short that I'll just follow where he leads and just see what he's up to. Well, he turns, and he reaches out with his right hand, so I'm figuring the ball is going to be coming on that side of him. So I look to my right, and he now has his left hand out, and I see the ball is now going to the left side, so I turn, and he's caught it with the right hand. So you understand what happened there.
What in the hell?
All right, just follow me, okay?
This guy, first of all, you think the ball is...
Hold on, let me just explain it.
No, but I want to set this up. You think the ball's going to land 10 yards short. Is that right?
Yes.
All right, and then you turn to your right because you see him turn to his right.
That is correct.
And instead he catches it with his left hand. How did you know he caught it with his left hand?
Because I saw the ball sailing in, coming behind me. I turned to my right. And the ball's coming in behind me to the left. I immediately turned to the left.
And that's when you saw him catch that?
No, that's when I didn't see him catch it. Then I saw that he caught it with the right hand.
All right, now hold on for a minute. See, this is what's confusing us.
So he caught the ball with the right hand, even though you thought it was coming in on the left side?
Yeah, but I initially thought it was coming in on the right side. Yeah, this is why I'm saying it. It's called deep, deep, go deep, just deep. Because no one wants to explain it, and no one wants to talk about it, in fact. They've had me on about 4 or 5 CFL in Review and highlights and all that bull crap, those kind of shows. But I tell them now, I said, what's this about? They'll say, we want to ask you about the Clyde Walward play. I said, just do yourself a favor and hang yourself, and I'll hang the phone up. So they're used to me being very curmudgeonly.
But so they don't talk about it anymore?
I've tried to discourage them, Robert, from talking about it, yeah.
All right, so there was a touchdown.
Yeah, they scored the touchdown. They went for the 2-point conversion, so it's now 20-19. And then they tried to get the rouge on the kickoff. And what that is you kick it deep, and if we cannot return it out of the end zone, they get a point. And then that would have tied the game up. But what happened was, after they scored the 2-point conversion, okay, and they came out and they kicked off, time had run out. So there wasn't going to be time for them to go downfield.
Well, what about this rouge?
Oh, yeah, they could have gotten that.
Well, that's what they were hoping for, wasn't it? This so-called rouge.
What does that mean, the rouge?
It's a point you get in the Canadian game. If you kick the ball into the end zone, they can't return it out, you get a point.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like a...
Well, and Phil, please don't say what a lot of people say. Gee, we could use that in the NFL. No, we could not. Please don't ever do that.
What's wrong with that?
Just don't ever do that, okay? Don't tell me, no, we can't. There's no rule they got in Canada we can use in the NFL.
Well, the Canadian Football League, the Canadian game is a different game. It is a game. It's like we got to remember that we play a version of football here. We play the American football version, and there is a Canadian football version.
What about Australian rules? You call that a version of football?
It's their version of football, yeah. I mean, that's why we name them what we name them. So anyway, Canadian game has a lot of different rules.
Right, it has a lot of different rules, and in the Canadian game, you can kick it into the, there was something having to do with a clock, I forget. Oh, I know, time had run out. When they got the two-point conversion, then time ran out.
Well, what do you mean time ran out? The clock stops for extra points.
Oh, really? And I'm sorry, what part of the commissioner's office are you from, Mr. Henry? I mean...
Well, it stands there. I don't know anything about sports, but why would the clock still be running?
And you also work the commissioner of the Canadian League. This is very interesting.
Wait, hold on. You said that the clock, time ran out, right?
I said that time had run out, yeah, for them to have another play, but they were able to kick the rouge.
So time hadn't run out?
No, it had not run out. I thought it had.
You know what, Vernon, if you don't mind...
Oh, here we go. You're going to tell me how I am mentally...
Well, I mean, we talked to you about doing an interview, Coach Dozier.
Let me just talk to the host of the show, if I may.
All right, but we talked to you about doing an interview.
Let me talk to the host of the show. Look, Phil, you're going to be about the 9 millionth guy that's going to tell me, do you see how confused you are about this? No, I'm not. I'm very clear on this.
But first of all, you're saying that, the way the guy caught the ball, okay?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then you say... Well, what's that mean? Yeah, uh-huh.
I'm waiting for you to spit it out there, man. I mean, Robert, God bless you. You're a wonderful man, but you are African-American, and so it's all kind of thick, you know.
Oh, my God. You better take that back right now.
All right, I'm sorry.
God damn, man. I'll come down there and kick your ass, Coach. Now teach you how to talk to me.
I'm sorry. I've been under a lot of pressure, okay?
What's wrong?
Just a hell of a bit.
Oh, don't start blubbering, man. Every time some guy says something insensitive...
I'm telling you right now.
What's wrong?
I'm thinking about my first wife.
You're thinking about your first wife, Gail?
That's right, yeah. She died over the holidays back in the late 90s.
Oh, I'm sorry. Vernon, I know that's when she passed on. I'm sorry to hear that. I thought, like a lot of us, that you were just trying to make an excuse.
Oh, she did. She died about, it was halfway between Christmas and New Year's, and she died.
All right, buddy, I apologize.
It's okay.
Is this the one that was dancing on the coffee table for the Shriners?
Yes. I feel better.
Yeah, all right, well, she was a party girl, wasn't she?
Yeah, now that I remember that part, yeah, now I don't care. But for a moment, I was thinking about her.
What do you mean you don't care?
I was feeling sad about the fact that Gail died during the holiday season, but now I remember... She was kind of a slut, and I loved her.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about my ex-wife, Gail, okay?
Right, let's stick to the point here, because once again, we're getting sidetracked into all kinds of weirdness. We're going way off into weird land, and I don't want to go there, if you don't mind.
All right, then if you don't want to go to weird land, man, then don't take the turnoff, okay?
Well, the turnoff is you.
The turnoff is me.
What does that mean? He doesn't turn you on?
No, he's the...
He's saying he's the freeway off-ramp.
Oh, I'm the freeway off-ramp that took you where?
To Weirdland!
To Weirdland! You know, Phil, are you crying?
No, I'm not. I'm not crying.
He's laughing, Mr. Dozier.
And the name's Coach Dozier, if you don't mind.
Well...
The name's Coach Dozier, if you don't mind.
All right, Coach Dozier.
Yeah, Coach Dozier.
So where are we here?
I don't know. You wanted me to talk about Clyde Walward and the go-go deep, deep, way deep. And I'm telling you all about it. Now you talk about this Hail Mary. The Hail Mary ain't nothing. Because I talked to Nate Bryant. And I talked to Bobby Bryant. And I talked to, and I'm not trying to be funny about this, but I did. I talked to Anita Bryant. I talked to Anita Bryant about this play.
Oh, come on.
I swear to Almighty God, I talked to Anita Bryant about the Hail Mary.
When?
In the late 1970s, when it happened.
Well, where the hell were you anyway?
I was down in Miami. I was doing a couple of personal appearances for the Canadian Football League down there, because they got about 3 or 4 Canadians down there, and I met her husband, Bob Green, and he said, well, how about coming over for a punch or something? I don't know what, because they don't drink. And I said, hey, Bob, it's great to meet you. I know you're married to the very lovely Anita Bryant. He said, thank you. I said, how about we get together and party it up? He said, well, you know, we're Christians. I said, oh, okay, I'm sorry about that. He said, no problem. He said, if you'd like to come over for a punch or a lemonade, you know, we can do it up. I said, sure, that's cool, whatever. I'm sure I sounded more enthusiastic than that. And we went over and I...
Yeah?
I just went over there and sat down, and she said, what's new? And I said, well, I'm a football player. And she said, what about that Hail Mary? And that's when we talked about it.
So you talked to Bobby Bryant. Who's Bobby Bryant and Nate Bryant?
Those are defensive backs for the...
They played for the Vikings, right?
Yeah, those are two of the defensive backs who were on the field at the time. I believe it was Nate Bryant that got beat on the play, and Bobby is the... either the corner of that. I think Bobby's the corner, but Nate's the safety. He got beat on the play.
Talking with Vernon Dozier here about the famous Viking Hail Mary in 1975. I'd played it here before the show on our our pre-show. This is, by the way, the Phil Hendry Show. It is the second day of January 2017. Just so you know that even though this has absolutely no relevance whatsoever to anything happening, that's why we're talking about it.
Well, you said that again.
Phil, finally, you're admitting to a few things. You bring things up on this program.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, Phil, but because I haven't talked about it in about... Excuse me, I haven't talked about it. Hold on for a minute.
Yeah.
I haven't talked about it. For a long time.
But you do say you're tired of talking about it.
I am sick to death of talking about it, but I hadn't talked about it with you, so I'm okay with that one.
All right, so about the Hail Mary, what do you... well, you talked to Anita Bryant about that play, and I watched this, and I watched the replay, and a lot of people say that, you know, that Drew Pearson pushed off. I didn't see it. And also the pass play to Drew Pearson earlier that they thought he was out of bounds on, I didn't see that. It looked like it was a very good call.
Well, I'll tell you this much. You can get fooled by the trajectory of a football. You can get fooled by the behavior of the receiver. If you're a defensive back, and I played for 6 years in the Canadian Football League at defensive back, I played very briefly at quarterback, and they quickly moved me off of that and said, "This is let's get him out of there and put him into a place where he might be able to do us some good." So I played defensive back. But you are keying off the receivers. Two people you're keying. You're going to key off the quarterback if you're in a zone. But if you're playing man-to-man, buddy, well, you better grab them both and hold them tight because now you're in a foot race. And Clyde Walward was a fast, fast hillbilly. Now, this is a guy who came from, I think it was just wherever the most, like Appalachia, but it wasn't even that sophisticated. It was some deep, dark, way, way back there, you know.
All right, well, what school did he go to?
I think he went to, like, Stanford or something like that. But
he went to Stanford, but he was from...
Yes, he went to Stanford, but he was from Appalachia. But he was a real knock-kneed hillbilly dumbass. And the thing that I resented about him more than anything is he would throw you off guard. You'd say, "Hey, how you doing today, Clyde?" He'd say, "Hey." And he had that kind of, you know, the...
Got the southern accent and everything?
Well, more than that, it was a hillbilly accent. And he'd say, and you'd swear to God, "Well, this is going to be easy. I'm playing against an orangutan, you know."
Now, didn't think the guy was smart, huh?
Not smart. Yeah, I thought he was barely human. So I'd say, "Well, this is going to be great. I'm playing against a zoo animal." Because he's all... Next thing you know, he's blazing by you like a rocket sled, and your pants are off. That's for all the world, for all the people in the stands, for the media, for everybody watching, you might as well not be wearing pants. Because that's how he made you look. And thank God...
Yes?
Thank God this isn't true for me, but you might as well not be wearing pants and have only about a 1-inch... penis. I mean...
All right, I think we've got the point.
All right, well, I thought I'd just...
Yeah, we understand. So, Clyde Walward made you look like that, huh?
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, no, he didn't, because no one knows how that play was...
Well, it's one that'll stand the test of time in the National Football League, the Hail Mary pass, and like we were saying, the Vikings just fell apart after that, and it's very interesting. And plus the whiskey bottle.
Now, Phil was talking about what the referee was hit in the head with a whiskey bottle.
Yeah, the Viking game, yeah.
And that was the beginning of making sure people weren't bringing bottles in.
You can't bring bottles into venues anymore because of the animals and the slobs that would pull something like that.
Well, it was a very, very dangerous thing to do, and thank God the referee was okay. In the game that I played in the long, 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 go deep, just long, where Clyde Walward caught that pass, they didn't win, but he caught an amazing pass. They threw something, and I don't know what it was, but it had no significance. It didn't hit anybody.
Well, how do you know they threw something? Who threw it?
I don't know, but someone threw something, I'm sure. So probably a snowball or...
Well, you don't know that for a fact.
I, let me just say it. I'm going to say it. Prove me wrong.
All right.
I will prove me wrong.
Vernon, thanks, Vernon. You're right. I can't. Vernon Dozier has been our special guest on the program here talking about the Clyde Walward long, long, go deep, way long play. This was one that he was involved in.
Wait. If you're going to do it right. It's called deep, deep, go deep, just deep.
That was it, yes. I wanted to ask Frank about that, if he knew anything about that, if you could...
Yeah, get Mr. Grant a line here a minute.
Hey, don't ask about it.
What do you need to talk to him for?
What do you mean, what do I need to talk to him for?
I'm the one. Are you trying to tell me that Frank Gray is the guy who's going to be the expert on this? And that I'm just what? I'm just some...
I want to talk to my husband about it simply to get the fan's perspective.
All right, okay. I mean, I can understand that. I'm just trying to say that, you know, I experienced it. I lived it. And while the fans do have their perspective, Phil and Margaret and everybody, there's nothing like getting it directly from the mouth of the player. And we used to kid with a lot of the girls that would hang around the club. And they'd say, oh, you know, what do you mean? But I said, well, don't worry about it. When you get it from my mouth, well...
Very, very classy.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I do. I apologize.
Okay. Vernon Dozier with us, folks. We're going to get on the line here in a moment. Frank Gray to talk about the fan perspective of this pass play. I don't know whether Frank would know anything about this because he is an American football fan.
Well, no. Frank is a football fan from way back of all kinds of football. And is that him?
Yeah, Mr. Gray is in an office right now here, line number two. Mr. Gray? Mr. Gray?
Frank Gray.
Oh, Frank, we're talking here with Vernon Dozier. You know Vernon, right?
Yeah. Hey, Frank, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good.
Well, he's talking about the deep, what is it again?
Hey, Frank, we're talking here, this is Vernon, Frank.
How you doing?
Good. We're talking here about the deep, deep, go long, just deep.
Who are you?
I'm Vernon Dozier.
Oh, I thought I was talking...
Frank, you know Vernon, right?
No, I don't know him. Never had the pleasure. You've never met me.
No. Why do you think
you've met me? If I've never met you, how could I have met you? Well, you're right. I've never met you. I thought maybe that you had seen me or heard me on the radio.
No, I wouldn't know you.
Well, what about the pass play? The deep, deep, go deep, just deep.
The what? What's he talking about? Who? My wife. What's he talking about? What's he talking about?
All right, Frank, sorry to bother you.
I don't understand the... What was that about?
What was that about? That was about Margaret getting... I thought you said the guy was a fan.
I thought he's a football fan.
But he's never heard of me, see? And that's the part that hurts. He's never heard of me.
All right, he's never heard of you, Vernon, because you're not exactly the most household name in all of football.
But you set me up to expect a guy who was going to go, oh, you know, you're so great. And instead, he'd never heard of me.
Well, I knew we'd get going slow here, so...
No, you're fine. You're doing great, Phil. It's me. I'm just remembering Gail.
Yeah, you're remembering Gail, all right? You already told us. And, you know, you would have been remembering her more fondly were it not for the fact she's a slut.
She was a slut. She's not with us anymore.
Was a slut.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot, Vernon.
Well, Phil, you can't get tough with me just because I'm...
Vernon Dozier on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Just coming up, we got Doug Danger and Don Berman.
Can you yell any louder?
Coming up, we got... Oh, God, you blew my fucking ears out, man.
Oh, my God, you said a dirty word.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California is probably going to be back, but I wish it wasn't. Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game of snooker. Teddy's Snooker Lounge, 1521 Trailways in downtown Shamania. Teddy's Snooker Lounge, all in the wonderful game of snooker. And Teddy's Snooker Lounge now has the big, big pitchers of beer with the big mugs of beer and the big baskets of popcorn. Eat as much as you want. That we know as snooker. Teddy's Snooker Lounge, 2121 East Gastly. Was that the address we gave at the beginning? No, it wasn't. But it's all in the snooker. In the snooker. Hi, Snooker Winslow here. You won't want to miss one of the great folk shows of all time when Bosco Brennan comes to town. Bosco Brennan, one of the great troubadours of all time in American history. Don't miss it. Saturday night at the Civic Center.
Colors pink and pleasant. Glows in the dark, cause it's iridescent.
Tickets free.
Won't forget too soon. I can't keep on losing.
Famous Phil Hendry Show in the El Pacific on Southern California. Don't forget, Mr. Henry will be appearing at the Hollywood Improv on Friday night.
Well, on Friday night.
That's right, on Friday night.
Friday night will be Phil Hendry and friends, and I'm sure one or two or three or all of us will be showing up there with Phil as well. You haven't had me on stage yet, Phil.
Well, I mean, do you want to come up Friday night?
No.
Well, that's why he hasn't had you on stage yet.
Well, keep asking, though.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much, bud. Don Berman from Channel 19 News is going to join us here, and Don has, very interesting. Margaret, let's get to this whole broadcast news thing and get Don on the line here so we can talk a little bit more about this. Don, how are you doing?
Well, I'm very good, thank you.
All right, Margaret, what about broadcast news?
All right, Frank and I were watching broadcast. How are you doing, Don? It's Margaret.
Very good, Margaret, thank you.
You didn't ask her how she's doing.
What?
You didn't I said, how are you? And you said, very good. You usually...
I'm sorry. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Margaret, I don't want to make an issue out of it, but it is a polite thing to do.
Margaret, I understand. I apologize. Please don't give me... I've just finished this book, and it took me through some very, very tough, tough memories. I've had some very difficult memories to have to deal with in finishing the book.
All right, well, first of all, I want to talk to Margaret about her problem with broadcast news. Then we'll get to your book. The book is called, by the way, The Ball Breaking Must Stop: Female Reporters and Where to Draw the Line.
That is exactly right. I wrote the book, Phil.
No, wait. I got to talk to Margaret here about her situation vis-a-vis, broadcast news.
I'm sorry?
The reason why we are going to be talking with you is because of the fact that Margaret was on with us, and she was talking about broadcast news, and we want to get the full and complete story because it dovetails nicely with what you're talking about. Okay, Don?
Is he there?
Don, you there?
When he comes in, tell me. I'm on the phone. All right, Phil, here I am.
Where did you go?
I had to run over. What do you mean, where did I go? I ran over to L. Ron Martin's office because I'd left my wallet in there.
Well, I was talking to you.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that you...
All right, go ahead, Margaret.
Well, why are we talking to Margaret?
Because we're going
to
talk to Margaret, if you don't mind. Go ahead.
God damn it.
All right, Don, this is Margaret Gray.
Right.
Let's back up on this.
No, let's not back up on anything. Don, I would appreciate if you stay on the phone with us so we can finish what it is we're trying to say.
I apologize. Fuck.
And watch the language if you don't mind.
I'm sorry.
All right. Frank and I stumbled across a film, a very unfortunate film last night called Broadcast News. It's unfortunate in that at the time that it came out, it was... it was hailed, it was well respected, it was critically reviewed in the positive, but it has not held up well over time. It shows a very ineffective female producer who is doing battle with what I think are well-meaning but stupid men. Now, we are living in a day and age where we don't just have well-meaning but stupid men, we have men that may very well be the antithesis of well-meaning. They may mean very ill. They may be very ill. They may be very hostile. I don't want to point out our president-elect, but okay, yes, I will.
All right, Margaret, I don't necessarily disagree, but I don't agree, and I don't want to go down that road.
Well, what road do you want to go down, then?
Yeah, what road do you want to go down, or up, you know?
What does that mean, or up?
I don't think that's it.
What does that mean, or up?
If you're going to go down, you go up, especially when you talk about a road.
Bud, you're really...
You're cruising for a bruising, kid.
Sorry.
All right, let me jump in. Don, you have written this book, The Ball Breaking Must Stop. Margaret, I think, is saying the following, that women they're in a tougher work environment than ever before. The movie Broadcast News showed a work environment that is patty cake compared to what they're going through now.
Absolutely. Female reporters today...
Whoa, son. Excuse me. I was going to call you Sunshine. I'm not. Let me say this, Margaret. Yes, it is a difficult work environment. But when you talk about playing patty cake, and what is it now? You say it's hostile? This is why I called my book The Ball Breaking Must Stop, because every time I turn around, I've got a female reporter. I mean, literally, I'll turn around and there's a female reporter there staring at me, eyeball to eyeball, even though she may be 5'4 or 5'5. I got to look down straight into two blazing red eyeballs. Did you ever see, you mentioned the movie a lot, Phil, that 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
Well, you remember the red eyes and those rage virus people? That's what I look at.
Stop it.
What do you mean, oh, stop telling you right now? There is a hostile generation of female reporters who are out for blood, and they'll stop at nothing.
But Margaret's saying, is that there is a history.
But you just went like this. You went. Bip, 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 bip. You sound like a 3-horsepower engine.
You know, I'll say this to you, Berman, just one time. Don't do that. You can do that with Phil. You can do it with all the. Don't do it with me.
General.
Don't ever do it with me, and we'll get along fine.
All right.
Now, what they're talking about is a hostility in the workplace. You say it's ball-busting because they're trying to get their place in the sun, but what are they supposed to do?
Well, I mean, what are they supposed to do? Because Donald Trump, let's just get to it, because that's what Margaret's talking about. Donald Trump, is what I was talking about?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Isn't that what you're talking about, Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think Margaret is referring to the Megyn Kelly thing.
Yes, and the fact that there was a woman that was trying to do her job. And all right, so she asked some tough questions. What's the difference between a tough question and a disrespectful question? I'd like you to articulate that.
All right. Are you talking about in terms of Megyn Kelly and Donald Trump?
Yes, because his whole pitch has been, and I think it makes him sound very, very weak and almost effeminate, when he says...
Oh, man, that is uncalled for.
Oh, stop it. You talk about you men overreacting. I'd like to know what the difference is between a disrespectful remark and an honest remark.
A disrespectful remark is when you say to a man, all right, let's just use the example. I heard Vernon bring it up. When you say to a man, hey, I hear you don't exactly fill out, all right, and please don't laugh. I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm just using the example that came to mind. If you say to a man, hey, I hear you don't exactly fill out a jockstrap, if you know what I mean, wink, wink, the difference between that and saying, is it true you have micro penis?
All right, let's get off that kick.
All right, sorry, Phil.
But get something more adult.
Is it true you have... So what you're saying is...
All I'm saying is...
Get off that whole kick, all right? You guys have got the mentality of 3-year-olds.
Why don't you just say, it's the difference between saying, I hear you rob banks, and saying, is it true you were somewhere around the Bank of America yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock?
No, it's not anything like that. Oh, God, you butchered that alive.
Well, I'm not a news reporter.
As so I gathered.
All right, well, then give us a good example.
I just give.
No, don't give us the micropenis.
All right. It's the difference between saying to Donald Trump, you have called women whores, assholes, scum, the scum of the earth, and saying to him, I understand you have a problem with certain female personalities. Let's talk about that.
All right, now that's a fair observation.
Oh, that's the fair observation, is it?
Yes. And I don't see that.
Well, so why is that fair?
Because Megyn Kelly, when she first asked the question, she said, you've called women this, that, this, that, this, that, and immediately put him on the defensive, and you could see that he was scared, all right? And that's what I'm talking about, Margaret. I'm talking about the fear that she put into that man, and the fear that you and I'm saying this in a general sense, I don't mean you specifically, Margaret, but you and other ball breakers.
All right, well, now we're getting to it.
Yeah.
Oh, we are getting to it. So I'm a ball breaker.
What's the name of my book? Wow.
That is the name of the book, but you're not specific about it.
Yeah, okay. Let me be specific about it. I'm talking about Margaret Gray.
All right, let's say this. I want to jump in and say this. There is a respectful way of addressing somebody, and there's a disrespectful way.
Yes, and I don't think there has been one bit of disrespect issued to this president-elect by any female reporter. There have been tough questions, yes, but not disrespect.
Well, I have to disagree. I think every man listening will disagree.
Well, that's it right there, every man. So that's only one half.
And General, if you don't mind me, what is with you? Why wouldn't you...
Don't look at Berman. Don't get me to take yours. You know I won't take your side on anything, even if I agree with you. That's how low I think of you. All right?
All right, now I understand.
All right. So when you have a guy like Donald Trump, who is waiting for a woman to attack him, and he can't take any criticism. He feels he's been attacked. He uses the word vicious a lot. You notice that, Phil?
Well, Donald Trump has used the word vicious. He's used the words attacked. There are all kinds of personalities and all kinds of people, and they take all kinds of criticism. I don't want this to be about him. I want this to be a discussion about female reporters and where we are with them.
Well, look, that's why I wrote the book. I want everyone to know, what's the status of female reporters? And what's the status of...
May I say something?
Oh, excuse me.
Let him finish.
Let me start all over again. I wrote the book so people would know the evolution of the female reporter, where she's been, where she is today, and where she's going. And there's some very respectful things in this book. I talk about Nellie Bly. And she was the one, you mentioned her, Phil, the other day on your Twitter feed. She's the one that flew the balloon around. Not, she didn't flow a balloon. She was in the movie, right?
No, she wrote a book called Around the World in 80, or Around the World in 70 days or 69 days, something like that.
Well, it was about, it was the Jules Verne book.
Jules Verne wrote Around the World in 80 days, and she went out and tried to break the record.
Right, she did. And she went with another female reporter. That was fantastic, the little things that she did like. And then the, you have other female reporters. And let me tell you something. There's something to be said for many of our female reporters who have taught other women, you know, all of this is well and good. You can go around the world in 80 days or 59 days or, excuse me for saying this, you can see all 69 states.
You know what? I'm going to get up and walk out of here.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
You know, that really is not necessary.
I got this, guys. One more crack like that, Don, and I'll hang the phone up.
And what else?
I'll hang the phone up, and then I'll get on the horn with L. Ron Martin.
Please don't do that.
I'll get on the phone with him.
Please don't do that, Mr. Henry.
Then no more cracks like that.
I'm sorry. But you were talking about the female reporters around the world in 80 days.
All right, what does that got to do with all 69 states?
Well, I mean...
Watch it.
I'm trying to tell you that the female reporter of today has come a long way. And yes, there have been female reporters that have done some very wonderful work. How to bake bread, how to... Yeah, you may call that sexist. You may think that that's something that a sexist male would say. But I think it's a pretty good thing that we have females out there willing to write for periodicals and newspapers about how to, you know, what do you do when you got a baby? If you're going to have a baby in the back of a car or something, you know, what do you do? You know about that, Phil?
About what?
About...
See, he's trying to relegate women to this level.
Don, why don't we stop with that and get to what we're talking about, which is the hard-nosed women who are reporting on the hard news that you don't like.
What do you mean I don't like?
Well, you're talking about these women who are, they're ball-breaking.
I called it, when will the ball-breaking, the name of the book is The Ball-Breaking Must Stop, Female Reporters and Where to Draw the Line.
All right, where do you draw the line?
Here's where I draw the line. When I see them walk into the room, I'll say, okay, we have a president who is notorious for, he's very forthright with women. What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Well, Phil,
you're not going to be able to talk to female reporters that way. They're going to get credentialed.
Well, they'll get credentialed, but a lot of them will be kept out of that room. They'll be kept out of that press room.
Let me tell you what's going to happen, okay, if you don't mind. I mean, this is just my opinion.
All right, you're talking to me. I'm a reporter, and you're going to tell me.
Well, Phil's giving his opinion.
Just my opinion.
All right.
I think that the president-elect and then the president himself, Trump, is not going to be able to, you know, put into effect any policy that excludes tough reporters from that press briefing room, because he's going to get it from the media at large. He's going to be portrayed as a chicken, as a lightweight, as thin skinned. It ain't going to work out. And I don't even know why he would think of those things.
So you think because the man is protecting himself from some castrating, Jesus, you know.
See, this is that you're using all of these terms, these very loaded terms.
No, I'm just saying, if the president-elect wants to protect himself from some castrating, I'll say, I'm not afraid of using the words. If he wants to protect himself.
Well, he's going to do that.
No, he's not going to do that. If he wants to protect himself from some castrating, emasculating, ball-breaking
bitch.
Oh, wow. All right, you said it. I didn't.
No, you were going to say it.
No, I wasn't. Phil Henry said it. I didn't.
You were going to say it.
Yes, you were going to say it.
All right. If he's protecting himself from a woman like that, what makes you think the American people won't stand lockstep with him?
I just don't think they will. Unless I don't know the American people, I don't think they will. I think it's going to be, it'll split people at least. And I don't think it's gonna redound very well. I don't think it's gonna make the president himself look all that good. All right. So where do we draw the line with the? You say we draw the line with the female reporter. Let me ask a question here, Phil, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Because we have another segment we got to do with Doug Danger. I just want to ask you: are you kidding with this book? The ball breaking must stop. It makes you sound like a real chump change punk. You know that?
Oh, does it really? So it makes me sound...
It does. At the ball breaking must stop. It makes you sound like you can't take it. Like you're a lightweight
like you're thin skinned, just like our president-elect. And the minute some woman looks cross-eyed at you, you wet yourself. You wet your diapers.
Wet the diapers.
What a cunt. You know...
Don Berman, ladies and gentlemen.
I will demand an apology for that.
Margaret.
I will demand an apology for that.
Get him back on the phone, will you?
He's not going to go on.
Get him back on the phone. And we also have Doug Danger coming back here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah,
he is. Hey, Don, an apology?
For what? The fact that that...
I guess that...
I'll get my apology. Don't worry about it. I'll get an... If you're listening, Don, and I know you are, that's what you do. When you get hung up on, you turn the radio up full blast in the car. If you're listening to me, know this. You will apologize to me before the cock crows three times.
What the hell does that mean?
Don't worry about it. What are you looking at?
I was stunned by that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Yes, Sweet Farm is a wonderful place to take your loved ones. Sweet Farm is a wonderful place to take yourself. Sweet Farm is a wonderful place to take people you don't even know. But do you really know what Sweet Farm is able to do? Can you really know the full extent of the wonders that are worked by Sweet Farm? The answer is
no.
That's because Sweet Farm keeps close to the vest its great many secrets on how to make your mind well again, or at least make you functional enough to go out into public, to buy things, and to get back in your car and drive home without defecating all over yourself.
Sweet Farm, excuse us.
Sweet Farm, for 61 years, doing something, I don't know what.
Hi, Phil Hendry here. Don't forget your backstage pass. That is a backstage pass to the greatest, largest, biggest, most massive, most pulsating archive of radio material in the history of man on this planet. 20,000 plus hours of the revolutionary Phil Hendry Show can be yours with a backstage pass. Just pick up your subscription to the Phil Hendry Show website at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com.
philhendryshow.com.
Pick up your subscription, not anything else.
Doug Danger joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the newsroom there at the Orange County Courier. What a busy, 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 busy holiday season it's been, Doug. I know they got you doing all kinds of duty there, as well as, I guess, do they have you doing, hey, Doug, I was going to ask you, do they have you doing news duty, too?
Oh, yeah, they got me working the news beat as well as doing the entertainment report, but it's great fun, and as a gay man, as a gay journalist, you know, I'm always I feel like I'm the man for the job, a gay man, gay journal. So,
now, Doug, I want to ask you very quickly about Mariah Carey in Times Square.
Well, Mariah Carey in Times Square, let me tell you this. I heard Margaret make mention of it, and I think it bears repeating. Mariah Carey in Times Square, the problem was not the fact that she, you know, didn't sing, that she got thrown by the lip-syncing and all of this. The problem was the shock I think we all felt, and the and to this day I'm still getting phone calls from people on what happened, you know, to her ass, if I can just...
What do you mean, what happened to her ass?
It was huge. Don't you understand, Phil?
I saw her come out on that stage. I thought she looked sexy.
Oh, Phil.
No, Phil, watch what you're saying.
Phil, listen, you have a number of people that follow you. I don't know how many. Probably not that many, but enough whereby what you say influences them. There are men out there that take what you say to the bank, and you're trying to say her ass looked good, okay? I got something to tell you, and I don't think I should tell you.
Hey, Doug, let me say this. First of all, that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to influence anybody else. And I think that when you talk the way you talk, we were just talking about, you know, let the ball breaking end and Don Berman. You sound just like Berman, and he's an arch conservative.
Excuse me. I respect women. I'm trying women. I want women to do the very best they can with what they got.
You don't talk about that. Why is their ass got big?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, for God's sake. How many times have I got to tell you?
What's that got to do with anything?
What it has to do, it has... So this... Are you kidding me? Hold on for a minute. Are you kidding me? Here's Mariah Carey. She goes out on stage, and she's walking around because she can't remember the words.
Apparently, what happened to the music bed... Here, let's play this damn thing, bud, and find out.
Right, so she's walking around. She doesn't know what to do. She's doing a stupid dance. She's not saying a word.
She should have done the improvisational.
Well, what do you mean the improvisational?
Improvisational lyrics.
I'm trying to be a good sport. She's bringing all this attention to the fact that she's not lip-syncing. Why didn't she just lip-sync it? Why?
Take it easy, man. Turn it down, will you?
That was...
Yeah, she was going to say that was dog-do.
What do you think she should... All right, so that's Mariah Carey. I'm sorry if it sounds confused. What do you think she should have done?
What she should have done is sung whatever song she wanted to sing. The bigger problem last night was not the fact she couldn't remember the lyrics or the lip-syncing was off or whatever happened, was the fact that she walked out, she had the temerity. She had the the unmitigated gall to walk out onto that stage with the big... It was big, man.
It was pretty large, Mr. Henry.
Hey, I'm here to tell you guys right now, no, it wasn't.
So you're trying to tell me that's something you could handle.
I'm not even going to discuss that, okay? I'm just saying I think she looked beautiful. You know, there's all different kinds of women and all different kinds of body types. I can't believe you, Margaret.
What do you mean you can't believe me?
Don't pull Margaret into this. This is my play, man. This is my show, okay?
What do you mean you don't believe me? I'm trying to look out for women here. And when a woman gets out on stage and prances about in those heels... And the little thin ankles on her and the little thin non-existent calves, and suddenly everything widens out into just a... It's almost like a CinemaScope ass. I'm sorry, Phil.
You know, and Phil, one other thing...
No, wait. You guys are being as childish and as crude.
Childish?
Yeah, look, was Margaret right about the fact that...
Wait. Margaret, when you say that she had these little thin ankles, these little thin, and that it widened out to a CinemaScope ass, are you trying to be funny?
Look, Phil, would she...
Wait a minute, will you?
I'm trying to be a little bit funny, but I'm trying to make a point with the funny.
What she's saying...
Hold on. So...
Fuck it.
Can't hang up, man.
Can I hang up, please?
You can pretend. All right, we'll hang up on you.
Thanks a lot, Phil. This is Doug.
What?
I'm saying that when the woman goes out there with the little thin ankles and the big... The little thin ankles and the little thin calves, but then the big thighs and then the butt that is wider than her shoulders.
Yeah.
You know what? I think what's unfair here...
No, we're following you.
What is unfair here is the fact that I know I sound like an ass, and I'm trying to save face, and you won't allow me to do that because you want me to sit here and burn. Isn't that right?
No, but I think what you've done is, rather than stand up for...
Don't get the real somber tone and start to lecture me.
I'm not, but I think you've, you know, in trying to stand up for what... Never mind.
I'm not standing up for any women.
Yeah, so we've gathered. What?
Get down, you.
Oh, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for joining us on this here live stream. Actually, it was streaming Sunday night. You're hearing it on Monday. See ya.
But... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I told the guy...